All right. Well, let's pray, everyone. not about my spandex jeans. Let's not do that. All right. God, we just thank you that you've brought so many of our family back. Lord, I love the breaks here in Blacksburg. Lord, I love the feel of the seasons and having this time where the town kind of rests. And that's a good thing. But God, after a while, it just doesn't feel right without these folks and a lot of other folks that aren't here in the room yet, without them here. These are our people. These are our family. And God, I'm so grateful that it seems like most people here had a break, a time of rest. And even for those of us that just, you know, keep on working, it just feels that way. God, we thank you that we can feel the rhythm of the year. And so, God, I pray that you would be with everyone that's traveling, and I pray that it would people would get in a little bit easier than they might fear that they are now. God, I pray as we look into the next few months, God, that this wouldn't just be another January. God, a time where we make New Year's resolutions because we're supposed to, and where we have no expectation of actually doing them. Lord, where it just feels like another time of the same thing. God, I pray that we would look and expect that you want to do something fresh in us. Lord, there are people in this room that have been troubled and weighed down by sin, and you are going to break the bonds of it tonight or in the next few weeks. There are people that have been struggling they've been holding on to a lie, and you're going to break that. Or there's a truth that they just haven't been able to absorb, and you're going to let them. God, I pray wherever we are right now that we would know in our bones that you see us right there, and you care for us right where we are, and you are above us and below us and in front of us and behind us. God, be with us, please. Amen. I mean, this is the time of the year when people make, you know, New Year's resolutions to do certain things that we feel like we should be doing more, right? Or to try to do things that we feel like we shouldn't be doing as much. We want to do those things less. And it's just that time where we come up with these goals, and maybe we, you know, put them out on social media or we don't. And maybe we expect that we might reach them, or maybe we don't. Sometimes we just have these practices that we do that we really don't ever imagine working. But we just do them because it seems like it's the time that we should do them. I feel like that what this time of year is good for, it's not magical. Just because it's the start of a new year doesn't mean that we have to come up with whole new things that we're going to do, but it's a really good time to reflect. And so what we wanted to do tonight was we wanted to do things just a little bit differently. All right? If you, does everyone have something that they can write with? If people don't, is there someone back there that can just grab some pens or something? Look at this, people springing into action. Not really springing, but getting up and then getting into action. All right, if you need something to write with, then just raise your hand and we will give you such things. Does everybody have something to write on? Did everybody get a bulletin, a program, whatever? If you need something to write on and something to write with, you're really in trouble. Yes, you can. You can use phones. Don't write on them. Maybe just use the keyboard, right? So what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to have a couple of sessions of reflection. I'm going to give you something to think about, and then I'm going to ask that you think about it. How about that? Can we track with the step-by-step process that I'm laying out here? And what I want to do is I want us to look at a section of text first, and then I want that to kind of guide us. So it's just going to be, we're going to read a section of the scripture, and then we're just going to look at a couple of things in each of these sections, and then we're going to give you 4 or 5 minutes just to have time to think. I don't know if you're anything like me, But I find that especially once I get going, once things get busy, having time to sit quietly, it just doesn't happen. And even in those moments when I could sit quietly, I fill it with things. I fill it with music, or I fill it with phone calls or Netflix or something. But just to have time to sit and think, to give the Holy Spirit the time to whisper something. You know, I'm good if God would speak loudly and directly and efficiently. That's kind of how, if God would just do that, he would just grab my attention and I can't avoid it. And sometimes God does speak that way. He just does something and it just grabs us out of whatever it is we're doing. But a lot of times he just speaks quietly and he waits for us to quiet ourselves so we can hear. And we think God's not speaking and God's not talking and why doesn't he? And he's like, no, I am. I'm just teaching you the way that I speak. I'm not always just conforming to yours. So just having a couple of minutes just to think about a question or two. And if something comes to mind, to write it down. You and I are very, very good at letting things go right out of our head. Most of what you hear in a situation like this, when it's spoken by someone like me, that you will forget by the time you hit the door. By the time you get back to your house, over 80% of it will be gone. And so what we want to do, if there's anything that even a little bit strikes us as important, we want to just make a note so that we can go back to it, so we can remember. Even just the act of writing it or inputting it, that helps. So what we want to do is just, again, look at a couple of scripture and then ask a couple of questions. The first comes from Colossians 1. All right, these are Paul's words to the church at Colossae. Did it start? Let's see. There we go. Yes. All the while. Well, I'm just going to read from there. Okay, here we go. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. I mean, this is just one of those sections where Paul is writing to the church that assembled in the city of Colossae, and he's just reminding them of a very, very basic fact that applied to them and applies to any of us that have asked Christ to come in to our souls, that have asked God to adopt us, to forgive us. One of the easiest things that we can forget, and really most of all Satan really has to do with us, is just get us to forget how forgiven and loved we are. To just get us thinking that God, he kind of acts like we do. You know, for us, if somebody bugs me once, then I'm full of grace. I'm clergy, and that's what we do. And they bug me again, I'm still mostly full of grace. And the third time, half. By about the eighth or ninth time, I'm just bothered. I'm full of bother, you know? And it's like, and we think that's how God is. That if we were God, you know, and people were like us, then we would be looking at them when they fail again and again and again, and we'd be saying, what are you doing? We would be angry and we would turn and we say, well, you're obviously not serious. So come back to me when you're serious. We just imagine that God's like us. And that's really all Satan has to get us to do, to pull us away. Just get us thinking that God's like us. And Paul was writing to remind them that is not the case. So your challenge and my challenge is not to imagine how God could be, you know, how to picture him. Our challenge is to read this and just believe that it's not a lie, that it's really true. So I pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. He's saying everything that you need you have access to. You will never be put in a situation as you follow God where God does not give you the strength to get through it, where God does not give you the strength to equip you for the things that he wants you to do. We never lack for power. We just give up trying, or we don't know how. Or sometimes the difficulties that we're trying to walk away from are so complicated, we're not always sure the next step to take to access that. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He's enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us in the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. In this few minutes of reflection, some questions that are on the top with each of these, each part that's numbered, there's some questions. Lord, where do I need to seek your forgiveness? Are there places that I've held back? In what parts of my life have you forgiven me, but I need to let it in? I mean, there are parts of my life that I'm so ashamed of. It's hard for me to picture that God really has forgiven. I mean, I know he does. If someone were to ask me, I'd say, well, of course. But I don't feel it. Lord, help me to feel more rescued. This is the prayer. Help me to feel more rescued. Help me to sense your glorious power and forgiveness that is actually at work in me right now. So what all I'm asking you to do is we're going to take a couple minutes. We're going to have some music in the background. It's going to be delightful. All right? Just take a few minutes and just reflect on that. Maybe a couple of those little prayer prompts that just read the scripture again. You can just put the scripture back up. Just reflect on it, and then we'll move on. Thanks. All right, we wanted to move on to Psalm 139. Now, there's several parts in Psalm 139 that you'll recognize. It's kind of got some famous lines in it. A lot of people have heard of. What you may not know is this is a psalm of lament. It doesn't read like one. Some of the words, it doesn't feel like that's what it is. But there were, especially when David wrote his psalms, there were different types of psalms that would be written. And we don't have time to go into the different types, but this is one of lament. And they had a very specific structure. They had a cadence. They had a number of everything from the number of consonants in a line to the way that lines would flow. They're very distinctive patterns in these psalms. And so this psalm that has these famous lines in it is actually a lament where David is feeling like you and I can feel sometimes. Like you get the impression as you hear this that David is saying, why don't I get it more? Why don't I understand it better? And this is David, King David. What we're going to do is read this, and I just want you to hear this. Listen to what this says, Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak to you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Now, that's a tricky part of this psalm, and if you have questions, we can talk about it later. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. See, in this psalm, you can see David as he's just dealing with God. It starts off with this kind of lack. You know, it's almost this frustration. I can't get away from you. Where can I go? How can I do this? And then as he continues this interaction with God, it's like he starts to get it. And then at the end, it gets to the point where he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Some of the prayer prompts for this one are, Lord, in which parts of my day-to-day life do I not see your presence? Where are the places in my life where I doubt your care for me? And then a prayer can be, help me, Father, to see you in those places and to better understand how much you love me. Just take a couple of minutes here and just reflect on those verses. If you want to look it up in your Bible or on an app, it's Psalm 139. Just ask these questions to God. See if he says anything. Just read over the text and just let it sink a little bit deeper in. And we'll move on to one more thing. One more section that I want to read, and it comes from Ephesians 3. When Paul was writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, this church was a really impactful church in the early church world. This is one that had a profound influence around it, but it faced a lot of difficulty, a lot of oppression. There was a very vibrant economy in Ephesus for the production and the worship of idols. This was a big thing that Paul dealt with in almost every church that he started. People had this practice of actually worshiping man-made idols. I mean, we do it kind of in our minds. We worship things, but we don't bow, you know, down to them. They did. And so one of the things that he was always running into is the fact that people had to step away from worshiping these idols to worship the true God. And as he would start to do that, the people that still worship the idols, they would push back on the Christians. They didn't like it. They didn't want this thing to take off. And so Christianity wasn't just an option among several. If you were a follower of Jesus back then, it would have come at a great cost. And Ephesus was really feeling the strain of this. This would have been where you would have felt powerless, where you would have felt like there just wasn't any way that your life could get better, because the one thing that you could do to improve your life would be to renounce Jesus. But that's the one thing you can't do, because you knew. You know, when we become followers of Jesus, there's something that happens where we learn something, we know something, and we can't unknow it. We see something, and we can't unsee it, even if it makes it more convenient that we did. And so to this group of people, Paul writes this letter. And here's what he says, starting in 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, and obviously he's talking about Jesus, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now just let's listen to this like we haven't heard it before. Let's listen to this like they would have heard it, where you are struggling and you don't know how to navigate the things that you're confronting. And then Paul writes something, not just to make you feel better. He writes you something that's true. This is real. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. These people that had been wrung dry, he was saying there's a way you don't have to be that. You can be filled full of God's presence. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, including ours, forever and ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This thing that was written to them and the situation that they were dealing with applies directly to us right where we are. Some people are at a point in your life where everything is amazing and it's just looking better. And some of you feel like if it gets worse than this, I'm honestly not sure how I keep going. What this is saying is God sees every one of us and he will strengthen us according to the power that's already in us. He'll show us how to use it. Now, a couple of questions to ask. God, in what parts of my life do I doubt your power at work in me? And again, I'm not talking about the polite answer. If I said, is there any way, is there any part of you that God can't help? Well, no, of course not, Jim. There's no part. That's how you'd answer it with that kind of weird accent, right? I'm talking about the way we feel, right? When no one's around and we're thinking about, God, why isn't it better yet? What parts of my life do I doubt your power at work in me? Do I genuinely believe that you are truly capable of doing this in my life, exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all I could ask or imagine? Do I really think that you have something like that for me? Not in general, but in my life. Not just theoretically, but with me now. And the prayer prompt could be, help me, Father, to see your power working through me and in me, and help me to trust that these words are true of my life as well. So as I trust you and follow you more and more, you are freed up to guide me and bless me more and more. Let's take a few minutes. This will be our last reflection time. Let's take a few minutes and think about that. Maybe reflect on the words. Go back to part of the verse, or just pray this. Ask God to speak. Father, we pray that you would just be with us, that you would remind us of what is true. God, that you would help us to live in light of these things that you have written, Lord, that we would not go to the Bible as something to be worshipped. God, that we would go to it as this unique, inspired means that you use to show who you are to us and to show who we are to us. God, I pray that we would just trust you and turn to you and let you into parts of our souls that we have held you away. I pray that people would walk away from shame that they've been feeling that keeps them away from you. God, I pray that people would feel released from sin that they haven't been able to break free from. Lord, this is not about just doing these things because it's start of a new year and this is kind of Christian New Year's resolution business. God, I pray that you would just help us to reflect and then to live, please. Amen.